It's been a wonderful week, and I am so glad and honored to be here to worship the Lord with you. Getting right into it, I am going to close out after some prayer and deliberation. I'm going to close out the Fruits of the Spirit Bible study that I have been studying, and it's been good understanding what the fruits are, or what the fruit, singular, Sister Sharon, is in our lives, and how one fruit, example of love, can't go without joy. And you can't have joy without love. You can't have long suffering without peace, and you can't have peace without gentleness. And all of these, this fruit abides together, and they mirror each other, and they support each other. So in Galatians 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, just a reminder of what we've been talking about. And each one has a significant meaning in our lives, but I can't have that fruit if I'm not planted in the right place. So it matters where you're planted. And if I got anything out of everything that I've said over the last 6 weeks or so, it matters where I'm planted. The psalmist said in 1:3, Psalms 1:3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, right? So it matters where you're planted. It matters where you put your roots into the ground. I've said it, and I know I sound like I'm repeating myself, but if I can just drive it home that it matters. It matters the environment that you're in to grow a healthy fruit. If I'm in a bad environment, I'm going to not grow healthy fruit. If I'm not pruned properly, then I may yield fruit, but it might not be the best fruit, right? So it's important to follow after the law of God, the word of God, and to understand that this fruit that I bear is not for me. It's for those that are passing by me. The fruit, the tree does not eat its own fruit. Who eats the fruit? We do. That's right. Okay, so just for y'all, just so y'all know, you're more than welcome to say something and answer a question that I have as I'm talking. So it's kind of relaxed right now. Everybody take a deep breath. It feels good to breathe. It's Sunday morning. So if I have a question, or if I have a, unless it's a rhetorical question, please answer. And let's just talk amongst ourselves, because this is how we learn, right? And this helps us strengthen ourselves. And if I don't have an answer to any questions, then you know, I'll let you know that I don't have an answer, and we'll dig into it later. But and so in conclusion of the importance of where I'm planted, in that conclusion of being able to grow the fruit and being able to be pruned properly, in finalizing this Bible study that I've been studying, this Bible study, actually, the title of this study says, Abiding in Christ is Essential to Fruit Bearing. And I did a little more deep diving into abiding in Christ, and I've changed the title, and I'm going to say, my title is going to be Examining My Obedience. So I want to examine my obedience to God. I want to abide in Christ. But to abide in Christ means I have to be obedient. And if I have to be obedient, then that means I need to examine some things in my life that I can make sure, Brother Jess, that I abide in Christ. Because if I'm not aligned where I'm supposed to be, and I'm not obedient to the word of God, then my abiding in Christ is going to be, it's probably not going to happen. And let's just say it in layman's terms. I'm just not going to abide. I'm going to kind of just float along and drift along, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do in life, where I just kind of go where the wind takes me. And I don't want that in my life. I want a purpose. I want the purpose of my life to serve God. And so abiding in Christ means examining my obedience. And abiding, the definition of abiding means continuing without change, enduring, and being steadfast. So I want to continue in my relationship with God. I want to endure the things that life throws at me, and I want to be steadfast in the Word of God. And so in doing that, I need to examine my obedience. You know, obedience, there's many types of obedience, but obedience is basically, the definition is complying with a order, request, law, or submission to authority. And I can tell you, in today's day, we have a generation that does not like authority. I'm telling you, we don't. I did not like talking to the Ohio State Trooper on the side of the road last Sunday. Wasn't my cup of tea. When he gave me his certificate of appreciation of visiting Ohio, and I have to contact the court here in about 10 days and discuss my actions or inactions with them, right? But it's not comfortable. It's not comfortable having to submit to authority, but sometimes it's for my benefit, right? It's for my benefit. And so if I want to be obedient to the Word of God, if I want to serve the Lord, if I want to abide in Christ, then there's going to be times that the Lord's going to exert authority and say, hey, you can do this, but you can't do this. And I have to follow along with the Lord. And so, again, that goes back to, where was I planted? Can I take correction? Can I take correction in obedience to God? Man, it's good to serve somebody that you never have to get in trouble from. I can tell you right now, as a kid, I hated getting in trouble, right? I tried to avoid it with all cost. I didn't want to get in trouble, Brother Brent. But there are times that corrective actions were needed, not because my dad hated me, but because he said, hey, man, you're going down the wrong path, and we need to correct you a little bit. And it's the same way with God. And so if I'm going to abide in Christ, there's going to be times that, man, I'm going to coast and everything's going to be good. But then there's going to be times that I might get off track a little bit, and I have God, the Word of God, or even the man of God in my life come into me and say, hey, I see something that is a little off and we need to correct it, right? It's not always fun, but it's good. It's good for the soul. It's good for the saving of myself. And then it's good for the saving. If I'm saving myself, then I have three little ones behind me that are walking along the path that Daddy's walking. So I'm ultimately setting an example for them. And so Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And to have those things, I have to have that obedience. I have to be obedient to God. If I'm going to produce this fruit, then obedience to God is going to be necessary in my life. The Bible says if you abide in the vine, right, then he's going to abide in you. So if I'm going to abide in the vine, and I'm going to allow the vine to put nourishment into me that I'm grown the way I'm supposed to be grown, then ultimately I am going to have to be obedient to what the vine is requesting. A little short story here. Did y'all know there's speakers there's a place called Speaker's Corner. And Speaker's Corner, it's in Hyde Park, London. Speaker's Corner is the place where anybody can get up on a soapbox and say whatever outrageous thing that comes to mind. Him, her, doesn't matter who it is, you can get up on this little corner, this little soapbox, and you can just spill your guts out. Some of the speakers speak mainly to themselves, right? There's not a lot of people who walk by and are listening. But there is something about human nature that makes us curious. And so they say that the speakers, the more dramatic the speakers are, the larger the crowd they draw. Everybody heard the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? So the louder you are and the more boastful you are, the more attention that you draw to yourself. And so let's examine this. I'm building a foundation here, so just kind of follow along with me. But this was certainly the case in the Lord's day, wasn't it? I mean, think about it. Everywhere that Jesus went, people thronged him. Right? They knew. They didn't have Facebook to say, hey, Jesus is coming in to town on July the 27th. He will be walking through the streets at about 6 p.m. There wasn't a news broadcast. The news broadcast was word of mouth. The Lord's in town. And it spread quickly like wildfire. Right? And just because he had a large audience doesn't mean everybody that ran to him was his disciple either. I mean, think about that. Jesus had no difficulty attracting an audience. But it also doesn't mean that the people that came and listened to him was ready to follow his every word. There were several occasions when the crowd that enjoyed his miracles turned away when Jesus began to make practical applications of what he was saying. John 6, verse 66, Brother Josh. From that time of his disciples, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And he was that sound, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So just because you live for God, or you're in close proximity, let me rephrase, just because you're in close proximity of the Lord doesn't mean that you're in obedience with God. It doesn't matter that I come and I sit on a church pew. That's not going to save me. The sign that's out there at the road, Brother Danny, that sign's not going to save me. But it's my obedience to the word of God that's going to save me. It's my obedience to what I know God has instilled in me to do. And is it easy laying down the flesh? Not at all, Brother John. Not at all, because there's times that there are sacrifices made. I know many of men of God that have laid down lives of wealth. Much wealth to pursue after the calling of God. They weren't very rich people. They had the opportunity to be rich, but their sacrifice was, Lord, it's not my will, it's thy will. And had it not been for them, how many people would be lost? Brother Crosswhite. So it's about the obedience where you're planted and who you're reaching. And that is what is most important in our lives. You see, Jesus knew the hearts of those who crowded around him, and he could easily differentiate between those who were superficially attracted by the drama and those that are true disciples. In verse 15:8, he says, "My true disciples produce much fruit." Physical fruit is the outward expression of the life hidden inside a tree. Spiritually, the fruit of which Jesus spoke is the practical working out of the life that he puts in the hearts of his true disciples. Did you know that if a tree produces fruit that is rotten, that's a sign that there's something wrong with the tree? There's nothing wrong with the fruit, essentially, except it's bad. But it was produced, why? Because there was something wrong with the tree. And so if something is wrong in my life, if something is out of kilter and I'm not in line with the Word of God, Brother Neil, if I'm not in line with Scripture, then the fruits that I bear are going to show that. And so this is for your life too. If you're walking along and you have fruits that are not being produced like you think that they should, or that maybe you see something wrong, I'm just going to be transparent. There has been times that I encouraged myself in God because I did some self-reflecting and was like, that's not good. There's times that I didn't have to have my pastor say, hey, Brother Colton, you don't need to do that. Guess what? The word of the Lord had already spoke to me and said, hey, you're off. I didn't have to have somebody come and say, that's a relationship with God. That's allowing God to help you with accountability when the Lord comes in and says, hey, there's something off kilter right here. Let's fix it before pastor gets involved. It's always better to fix it before pastor gets involved, right? I can tell you right now how many times that I had to fix something before authority found out about it. It was so much easier for me. A quick story. I was going to an emergency call. I was a police officer many, many years ago. I was going to an emergency call, and I had come and visited my dad for 3 or 4 days. And while I was gone, in this particular part of the highway, they built a ledge. They built an island, a concrete island, in the middle of this intersection. And they didn't paint it yet. And I was sitting in a parking lot, and they dropped an in-progress call. It was a boy that was stabbing his mom. And, man, I put that patrol car in gear, and I took off out of that parking lot, and I never saw that island. Because the last time I was in this intersection, that island wasn't there. And it wasn't painted. And I hit that island, and, man, it blew both of my tires out on my patrol car, bent the wheels. And so I had to call in and to let them know that I had a flat tire. I didn't tell them what happened. I just said, hey, I got a flat tire. I need another unit to respond to this. And I pull over into the Kroger parking lot, and my wheels are bent, Brother Jess. It just so happens I have a sledgehammer, and I have the wherewithal. And I pull those wheels off the side of my patrol car, and I beat those wheels back into round. And I just so happened to have a tow truck driver that was a friend of mine came, pulled up next to me, and he goes, hey, I'll take this tire and go fill it up with air at the gas station and come back while you're beating the other wheel out. And so I get it all beat out, and I get it fixed. And then I go to Walmart, and I get some sandpaper and some paint. And you know what I do? I don't just paint two wheels. I painted them all. Right? Sometimes it takes us fixing ourselves, because the Lord points it out to us in prayer, in reading our Bible, saying, hey, I don't have to have pastor say, you got to fix this before I have to fix something. Obedience to the Word of God is obedience to the Word of God. So I'm going to be obedient to the Word of God. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Purgeth is a pruning. He trims it up. He makes it to where it produces more fruit, better fruit. A few weeks ago, I talked about how a tree will produce its weight in fruit. So if you have 100 branches, it's going to produce, let's just say, 500 pounds of fruit. But if you purge it and you cut some of those branches off, the fruit's going to be usually pretty small. But if you purge it or you prune it and you cut some of those branches off, and let's just say you have 75 branches, your fruit is going to be bigger and it's going to be better. Most of the time it's going to be sweeter. Why? Because it doesn't have other branches that's drawing from the life of that tree. So it's good to be pruned. It's good to cut some things out of your life so that God can grow you in a better way. So now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Abide in me. Be obedient to me. Serve me. And I in you. I can tell you right now, God's telling me that if I serve him, he's going to serve me. I don't know how much comfort that gives somebody, but that gives me huge comfort, Brother Jerry, that as long as I'm serving God, God's on my side. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I in the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I'm here right now. It might not be the first time that you ask. You may have to ask a couple times. But God says if you ask, it's going to happen as long as you're abiding in me. As long as you're obedient to me. And so I have to examine myself and I want to examine my, am I being obedient to the word of God? Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I don't know about y'all, but I love joy. I love to be joyful. I don't like to be around people that are not joyful. If I walk up to you and I ask you, hey man, how are you doing? How are you doing? Most of the time people are like, hey, I'm pretty good. But you always have that one. They about to tell you everything that's wrong. Everything. And that's okay, I'll pray for you. But it's so much easier to talk to somebody that has joy of the Holy Ghost, even if you know they're going through something, and say, you know what? I'm joyful. God's got this. And so these things I've spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment. Have you ever come across somebody that you know they're going through something, but they are just happy-go-lucky? Sister Crosswhite, I can name one person right now. Sister Kathy. Sister Kathy, she could be going through all kinds of stuff. And you knew she was going through all kinds of stuff. But there was a joy about her that I can tell you was Holy Ghost joy. And I loved that about her. That's her testimony, that she was struggling. She was going through sickness and trials and tribulations, and yet every time you seen that woman, she had a smile on her face, unless I interrupted her with the drill gun. But it's something about people that have joy in the Holy Ghost, that no matter what they're going through, you know what? God's got it, right? This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. You are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. Something about fruit that's remaining. I don't know if you've ever had to rush out to a garden and pick fruit. Paul Martin, because if you don't get out there quick enough, that stuff will rot. And if it don't rot, the deer get it. And if deer don't get it, the caterpillars get it. Them green worms, I don't know what you call them, but. Huh? Oh, other than caterpillar. Cutworms, there you go. Them cutworms get it, right? But there's something about an abiding fruit. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, that I might give it to you. There's a lot of people that desired what the Lord had. Nicodemus was one of them. I mean, he came even to the night and he asked the Lord. He said, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, John 3:1-8, Brother Josh. And no man can do the things and the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. You can hear it, but you don't know where it comes from. You can't tell whence it cometh or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Lord's trying to talk to Nicodemus right there. He's trying to tell him to be obedient to the word of God, to be obedient to the things that I have said. Because there's life and there's joy in that obedience. It's important to understand that you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. It's important. Romans 6 says, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Romans 8, 9 through 11 says, but you're not in the flesh, you're in the Spirit, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. It's important to be obedient to the word of God. Where's my obedience? I'm checking it. Have I been obedient to baptism? Because that's what Nicodemus is talking. That's what he's talking about to Nicodemus, is that you must be baptized. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Baptism is essential. That is the Lord talking. He commanded the great commandment, the commission, right? It was a commandment. It was a commanded mission that he gave the disciples. And we'll visit that here in Acts. When the day of Pentecost, verse 2, 1 through 4, was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house, all the house, where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Speak. How do you know somebody's speaking? You hear them. That's what he's talking about the Spirit goeth. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. There's an importance about hearing right here, okay? And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jump into 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was important. Peter is following after what God had commanded them. And he was being obedient to what God had said. And he aligned his obedience with the word of God. So it's important that we're baptized, and we're baptized in Jesus' name. It's important. It's important that we know and we have that faith that I know that I must be baptized in Jesus' name. Why? Because the Lord told Nicodemus this. And then he followed it after his death through the disciples. And that's what they did. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, and hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God in him. I want to check my obedience. Am I following the plan of God? Am I following after God's plan? Am I doing what God has told me to do? Because I can tell you, I want that fruit. I desire to be able to produce that fruit so I can bring others to the Lord. So I can walk through Walmart and deal with the people of Walmart and go, hey, there's something about him or her that I want to know more about. James 1:20 says, this pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from this world. It's important to stay separated from the world. That's part of obedience. If I'm staying separated from the world, I don't want to blend in. If I'm staying separated from the world, I'm not going to look like them. I'm not going to act like them. I'm not going to talk like them. Right? That's separation. Otherwise, how do I know? I was in a few Bible studies back years and years and years ago. It was crazy because, show you how God works, just being in obedience. I just started Bible studies. I was new, completely green to trying to teach Bible studies. And I taught this lady a Bible study, her and her family. I was a police officer back then, and we had met at IHOP because IHOP and Whataburger were the only things open at 3 o'clock in the morning, and cops are hungry. Donut shops don't open until six, so don't jump the gun on me there. But IHOP and Whataburger are the only things open. And so in my quest of looking for that life in God, I began to teach Bible studies. We had an evangelist there, Brother Golden, Brother Chris Golden, and Brother Golden taught me how to teach Bible studies. And he was pretty amazing at teaching Bible studies. And so he began to teach me how to teach Bible studies. I had been around, my family taught Bible studies for years. Out of our household, they taught a Hispanic couple a Bible study, and that Hispanic couple has gone on to grow. I think they're on their fourth church right now, pastoring their fourth church. They have grown churches, and they started here in Nacogdoches. They grew a church here. They went to Houston. They started several churches there. They're currently in Arkansas, Brother and Sister Perez, and they're growing churches there. So I've been around Bible studies, but I'd never taught one. And so I was able to teach this Bible study. And so, man, I felt like my words fell. And as soon as they came out of my mouth, they just hit the floor. But I was obedient to the word of God. And I felt like every Bible study that I did with this lady and her family, it just fell out and hit the floor. Like I felt like I was getting nowhere. But Brother Crosswhite, I was obedient. And 8 years ago, we were, it had been 10 years, 8 years ago, I was sitting in the impact room. And I got a message, a Facebook Messenger message. And she said, "Is this Brother Colton Murray?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And she said, "This is Brandy." And I knew exactly who it was. And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "I just want to send you some pictures." And she said, "Thank you for planting a seed in me." She said, "I had a lot of things that I had to deal with," she said, "but I always reverted back to the Bible studies." And she said, she sent me pictures of her being baptized in Jesus' name by Brother Green in his church, and her being filled with the Holy Ghost. And to this day, 8 years later, she's still living for God. Why? Because I was obedient. I was obedient to the word of God. I taught her a Bible study. Even Sister Kristen, if I felt like that my words were just barely making it off the page, I let God give the increase. It wasn't me. It wasn't what I did. Other than being obedient, God did the work. God provided. God gave the increase of that. There was such a joy that came out of 10 years ago. I taught this lady a Bible study, and she finally got it. Right? There was just a joy that came with that of thank you, Lord, for allowing me to see the benefits, even if it took 10 years. So moving forward, I'm on a limited amount of time. So it's important. And besides this, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 10, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge; to knowledge, temperance; to temperance, patience; and patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness; and to brother..." I'm still trying to be obedient to the word of God here. So just, I have the fruit of the Spirit. This is going to help that fruit, right? "To godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. For these things be in you and abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." I can tell you right now, I need that. I need that help to grow, right? I want to add to those things because I want the fruit that I bear, that I talk to whoever I talk to, whether it be 10 days or 10 years, I want people to make it to heaven. I want people to make it to heaven. Not because I did anything, but other than be obedient to God's word. Not that I get the glory. It's not my glory, it's God's glory. But I want to be obedient to his word so he can get the glory, right? In Luke 13, he spake a parable. A certain man had planted a fig tree, or had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he to the dresser of his vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this tree, and I find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground?" And he answered unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. If it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." Thank God for other chances. Because there's been times that I have been barren. But God saw something in me that says, just one more time. I don't know how many times I was like, I've come to God and been like, I'm just being transparent here. I've come to God, "Lord, it's me again. Just one more chance. I know I asked for one more chance yesterday, but today's a new day, right? So just one more chance." But how merciful of a God we serve that allows that one more chance, and that one more chance, and that one more chance. Because what am I doing? I'm building myself in obedience to God's word. When I finally, after I backslid And I'm going to tell this, and then I'm going to be closing. After I backslid and I walked away from God for a long time and I came back, God blessed me to come back. Not everybody makes it back. And I was so grateful that I was able to get back. It took me forever to clean up my mouth. Oh boy, I had the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost, but man, them words slipped off my tongue, Brother Jerry, just as easy as they were the day before I got the Holy Ghost. And it was a work in progress. But every time that I had a word slip off my tongue that didn't glorify God, I would stop and go, God, help me. Every single time. And it took right at 2 years. But the Lord finally delivered me from that ugly mouth. Right? But it was sometimes a daily grind. It was a daily grind, Brother Powell, that I just, okay, God, here I am again. Right? What am I doing? I'm reviewing my obedience. I'm examining my obedience. Okay, I want to be obedient to God. So every time I wanted it to prick my heart. I wanted the things that I did wrong to prick my heart. Because if I ever get into a position or a place where I don't feel the pricking of the heart, that's a dangerous place to be. And so I pray, God, help my obedience. And so today I ask you, you know, as you go through your life, last set of scriptures, James 3, 10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive and berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who's a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of the good conversation of his works with meekness and wisdom. I'm talking about my mouth, right? I want to talk good because that means my heart's good. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. So if I'm speaking good things, then there's good things in my heart. But if I'm speaking evil things, then there's evil things in my heart, and I need to check my obedience. He that hath, John 14:21, the last one, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself in him. We serve a God that loves us. And if we can work on our obedience, and work on where we're planted. My obedience and where I'm planted matters in God. It matters for the fruit that I'm going to bear. I want it to be good fruit for my friends, for my brothers, for my coworkers, for my sisters, for my backslidden family, for everybody that I come in contact with. But if I don't have obedience, and if I'm not planted by the rivers of water, then there's a chance that my fruit's not going to produce. Amen. I wonder if we can just lift our hands right now and just love the Lord. He's in this place this morning and I feel his presence. Lord, I'm asking you to help my obedience, God. Help me to be what I'm supposed to be in you. Help me, Lord, to be guided. Lord, if you need to correct me, I pray, correct me. Lord, that my feet follow after you and not after the things of this world. Help me to be separate. Help me to be used of you. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you for your mercies. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And I praise you. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.